Welcome and breathe in air. Abstract Illusions Radio, the show that explores and exposes the many aspects of expression, with your host, Jennifer Hillman.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you for listening to Air Tonight. I'm Jennifer Hillman, your host, and tonight we're talking to Bobby Marchese, formerly a police officer and a private investigator, as well as in the entertainment and field. His psychic abilities kind of took over and have been strengthening all the while. He has been compared to James Van Praagh and John Edwards. I apologize. Bobby will be taking calls tonight if you have any questions that you'd like to get answered. We will open the phone lines in a few minutes. Bobby's website is bobbyspiritspeak.com if you have want information about him. So now I thank Bobby for being on the show with your busy schedule. I really appreciate you taking time and staying up to do the show. How are you doing tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Why don't you tell the audience a little bit about yourself?
Gosh, other than what you had already said to everybody, I had realized that I needed to do something like this, like the work that I'm doing now. I used to be on a television show in South Dakota. I had my own morning show on the NBC affiliate. And it was a lot of fun, and I really enjoyed it, but there came a great need to fulfill my passion of teaching others how to reach their potential and also do workshops on reaching psychicness and also doing personal readings and things like that and bringing through loved ones from the other side and helping people to do the same thing so they don't have to come to rely on me to do that for them. And so I quit the television station and ended up leaving and moving to California. I packed my whole family up, moved to California, and I've been out there now about 6 months, but it was after about 4 months that things really started to change for me, and I realized that the move was exactly what I needed to do. So it's been quite great.
Wonderful. So how long have you been getting, like, the push in the spiritual world? How long have they been knocking on your head saying, hello, we're here?
Yeah. probably a lot longer than what I give credit for. You know, I find that angels and spirit guides tend to knock on our heads quite a bit, and we just don't listen. So I'm sure they've been knocking for quite a while, and I just never answered the door. So, but it really took flight for me just right when John Edward first came on television. It was actually a couple years prior to that, but really the big drop, the big overwhelming feeling that came over me was when John Edward came on television. And I knew that was not only what I was going to be doing, but what I wanted to do as well. It was kind of a simultaneous, there it is type of moment for me.
So when you were a police officer, you don't think your intuition was kicking in during that time?
No, I very much believe it was. But there's one thing as to having the intuition and psychicness kick in, but it's another thing altogether to acknowledge that.
Very true.
You know, people do things all the time and never acknowledge or give credit or power to what it is that they're doing, and they're so surprised when you point it out to them. I think it just makes a thing stronger, the more that you can focus on it and really acknowledge that you even have a psychic ability or intuition. I think that's first and foremost. If you can't even acknowledge that there's that there, you have nothing to work with. So definitely as a police officer, and it's always easier too, isn't it, to look back on your life and connect the dots and say, oh, so this is probably why I was going through this or why I was feeling this, or I'll bet that was intuition kicking in. You know, sometimes as a kid you don't know what it is. It just seems normal. And especially if you don't have parents that really support that or back that up, it can be quite difficult to explain some of the things that you go through when you're a child.
Yes. On your website, you talk about a girl that called you instead of 911. You want to tell us about that?
I don't, but I will. She, bless her heart, there's a lot of people that that I think rely too heavily on psychics. I think psychics can be very useful. We can be a tool for helping you not only tune into your own intuition, but again, maybe pointing out some stumbling blocks or some limitations that you might be putting on yourself. But some people will come to you for answer and answer and answer, and I think psychics are not doing anybody any favors by continuing to answer those questions. You know what I mean? I think that there has to come a point.
I agree with you 100%.
Yeah, you have to sometimes shut a person down and say, you know what, I'm not going to answer that for you anymore. You need to move past this particular point in your life, otherwise there's no reason for me to continue to answer the same questions over and over again. Well, one day I had this phone call from this girl who had been a client. We had done some life coaching sessions. And people, as you can imagine, or as you probably have gone through yourself, get very intimate with me. They're very personal. They trust me. They open up to a great deal, especially after a few sessions. We get into the very heart sometimes of people's issues. And she had called me. She was very concerned because she was bleeding in her female area and wanted to know if she was having a miscarriage. And so I said, oh my, you know, this was on a Sunday afternoon. I was at home with my family. I just answered the phone because I didn't recognize the number. I just had answered it. I'm not tuned in. I said, I don't know. What did your doctor say? And she blew me away when she says, well, I didn't call my doctor. I called you. And I'm like, oh my God. So I really became kind of assertive with her and told her, you don't call your local psychic if you're bleeding and you think you're going through a miscarriage. You need to, a couple of things. Sometimes it's appropriate to go to the doctor, and other times the doctor would tell you, there's nothing we can do, just stay at home. But you don't call your psychic, you know. So this is the big platform that I've always been on, of not relying on your local psychic for all the answers. A totally different story if she needed me to hold her hand or she was scared or you know what I'm saying, to where I could be supportive with going through what she's going through, but you don't call me to ask me if this is happening. it just is wrong for so many reasons.
Oh, definitely. And I mean, even though we have, a lot of times there are medical intuitives that can say exactly what's going on,
yeah.
We'll often say, we will tell you this, but you need to confirm this with your doctor.
I mean, always.
So, I mean, it definitely happens, and it's very, very scary when it does.
It's very scary when it does. And sometimes, again, it's appropriate to hold her hand or to walk through it with her or things like that. But, understand, this person has also called me many times before to want to know if she's pregnant and then if she's going to lose the baby. She's had, you know, reportedly, according to her, several miscarriages, and every time she gets pregnant, she calls me and wants to know if this one's going to stay. And I've stopped answering those questions for her after a while. But there's plenty of other psychics who have answered the question for her.
Oh, I'm sure.
And then I get a phone call a week later, and she says, that stupid psychic, they didn't know any better, and I just lost my baby. They told me I was going to keep it, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, I can't help you any longer.
Right.
I don't know what to tell you.
What are some of the other ways that you find people getting dependent on a psychic for? Is it, do you find, at least for me, it's the same question about every relationship that comes in. Is this the one? Is he the soulmate that I've been waiting for? Do you
tend
to get those as well?
All the time. But, you know, I think that everybody always wants to know about the love, money, and career. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with those questions per se, but let's get you in a place where you no longer have to ask me if this is the love, are you going to have your career, or are you going to make lots of money? Are you finally going to get out of debt? Let's get you to a place where you don't have to ask those questions any longer.
Right.
Stop. I don't think, again, psychics do any favors by answering, yes, this is the one, no, this job isn't going to work out, or whatever, just giving a psychic answer. Because
right.
That person guaranteed is going to call you in a week, a month, 6 months, and ask you the same questions again. Why not, instead of just feeding a person a meal, teach them how to fish, right?
Right.
And then they can answer their own questions and say, here's how you get in a position where you create the love of your life. You create the job that you want, and you get the money you need, or stop looking at money as such a crux of your lifetime, and you're happy anyway, regardless whether you have the money.
Right.
So I believe in holding people to their hand and taking them to a place where we teach them how to create the stuff in their life and stop coming back to us for these types of questions. But, I mean, like you said, you get all kinds of questions. I had a guy call me one time and asked me, he said he was going on vacation. I think this was in December. And he says he's going on vacation, wants to know if he should leave on the 14th or the 21st of the month. And I said, I don't care. Let's talk about why it's great that you're going on vacation, because you and your wife have been having issues, and this finally, she's been begging you to have time together, and now you're finally doing it. That's brilliant. Whether you leave on the 14th or the 21st, stop it. Just leave whatever's more convenient for you. It'll work out exactly as it's supposed to. So this is the dependency that people have come on to us for answers, and I just think it's, again, I think it's wrong.
Well, so do you think that because of all the shifting of consciousness right now, that at one time psychics kind of met the role of the one that would really take on what the responsibility and try to heal the problems and the issues for their clients, whereas now psychics are more and more, I find for myself, wanting to end that dependency and have them go within to be more responsible, if nothing else, for their actions, for their thoughts, and really wean them off that dependency from being that psychic junkie. Like, there are so many people who will spend thousands and thousands of dollars on everything they do. It's whatever the psychic tells them, then it's going to be okay. Do you feel that
right,
because of the consciousness movement now, that things are now changing for the psychics to turn it back on their clients for dependency, where at one time that psychics tended to feed that more than they do now?
I think there's definitely, I'd love to see a shift in a lot of psychics. Unfortunately, I've seen too many still create that dependency. I still think it's a rarity to have a psychic do what it is you're saying. I've met a couple of people that are trying to do that. I would love to see, obviously, a lot more attempt to do that. At one time, they were making it seem like, hey, we can do this, you can't, type of attitude. You know, like you were saying, there's a time where, I can't do that, I'm not special like the psychic, or there's no way I can tune in because I'm not worthy or anything like that. And now, you're right, there's psychics that are taking a step up, but we're looking back, reaching our hand down, and bringing up the person at the same level.
Right.
We're bringing you up to the same stair step and going, no. We're not on a pedestal. You can do this, too. We just put more practice into it. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm not an Olympic athlete, but could I study and work and work out and get to an athlete's level? Of course. But are there people that could show me how to do that? Yes, there is. Are they better than me? Right now, they are. That doesn't mean I can't put the time, work, and effort into becoming an Olympic athlete if
right,
I wanted to. You know, there's certain reasons why you would do that or ways, or, you know what I'm saying? You'd have to have certain motivations. Not everybody wants to do what we do, and that's fine. But I believe that there's a lot of people out there that want to change their life and want to create a better lifestyle. They just don't know how to do it. They're just not aware of how to do it, and I think we can show them that.
Don't you think also, though, like you and I, we've had these, you know, the knocking on the head saying, hello, we're here, and all those intuitive, you know, gut feelings on things, and they didn't realize that they have intuition themselves, but are kind of not recognizing it. And I think
right,
more and more, at least for me, a lot of the clients I get are the ones that are kind of recognizing there's something there, and they just need someone to guide them. And I'm beginning to, and I think you are as well, starting to get the clients that really do want to really take full control and of themselves and build up their intuition themselves. And I think I do feel like you that the dependency, I think it's shifting. And I think you and I and a few other psychics I know as well as you are shifting and making it more of a life coaching or a spiritual coaching instead.
Yeah. I've seen the psychics go to a life coaching position, which is awesome. Yes.
Yes. So what would you, how would you describe the psychic junkie then these days?
Well, just like what we're talking about. See, I don't want to scare, if somebody wants to call in, I don't want to scare them off and ask them their questions because they think, well, I'm going to sound stupid or now I'm going to sound like a junkie or, we'll just steer you towards a more appropriate question. If it could, you know, it comes out the way it does. Just ask the question the way it does and then I'll guide you towards a more appropriate question if necessary. But the junkie is exactly like what we've been describing. If you're asking me if you should leave on the 14th or the 21st, it's not that I'm against numerology. I think it's a great tool. I just think that, you know, when it comes right down to that, and you can't even decide the 14th or the 21st, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's. I can understand that there used to be a time, maybe, when people couldn't think for themselves like that, and they would say 14th or 21st, psychic tunes in and says, ooh, I'm getting bad things on the 14th, you better wait till the 21st. That's what has created this position we're in now. So psychic junkie is somebody who, you know, has calls into every radio show. I mean, if I think that I'm the only psychic on my network that people call into, I'm a fool. They're listening to three shows prior to mine, and then they'll call me and ask the same question.
Right.
So somebody who calls five different psychics and gets maybe a couple of different answers, you know, or the same answer from one or the other, or, you know, it's just you're calling too much. You're calling too much. I know some psychics who try to cut that down and say they won't see a client but every, you know, 4 or 5 months. I never cut them off. I just, you know, if you're coming to me, I'll let them come to me, and sometimes things change. Sometimes people make the shift that they need to, and we're like, awesome, let's move to the next step.
Right.
And that can happen in a month or 2 months, you know. So I keep it open, but if they're asking the same question, you just try to gently, it's my job, right?
Right.
To gently guide the person and say, look, here's the thing. You're still at where you were 2 months ago, and you're still asking the same question.
Right.
So let's see what's triggering this and try to move on past it. Or sometimes, unfortunately, there's nothing I can do. Like, I'm sorry, I already gave you the answer. That's all your angels and spirit guides tell me, to get the same thing. Got to try to move past this limitation, if you can. You know?
Why do you feel that there are two answers for every psychic question?
Well, just like what we're talking about, the psychic answer. I mean, sometimes, generally, people want to know, okay, so is this the love of my life,
right?
Say? Well, there's two answers to that. Psychically, do I feel that this is the relationship for you? Yes or no? And I'll answer that. And then the thing is that I think people need to not, again, just listen to me because I'm a so-called expert, but they need to feel it for themselves, right? If I say no and you're still thinking this is the love of your life, there's a problem there, right? So you'll go to another psychic until somebody finally confirms what it is you're feeling. And
right.
Feeling yes, right? So somebody will finally say what it is that you wanted to hear. So what I try to get the person to do is also feel it for themselves. I'll get them to repeat the question and say, you already, you know, and of course this isn't everybody, for everyone it's appropriate, but some people already know the answer the minute they ask it. You can feel it inside of them. The minute they ask it, they already know the answer's no.
Right.
But they ask it anyway, just either get confirmation or whatever, and that's fine. I can confirm in you, because we get too lost in our own heads sometimes. And so I can confirm it for you. But yeah, here's what you're thinking, and it's right. But the thing is that I'm not just going to tell you yes or no, and then let's move on to the next question. I want you to feel it inside for yourself. Let's find out why he may or may not be the right guy, and then teach you how to attract the right guy.
Wonderful. And, Bobby, we have our first caller. Welcome, caller.
Hello, hi.
Hi.
A caller whose actual name is caller? Oh, my heavens. What are the odds?
What is your name, caller?
Veronica.
Veronica?
Mm-hmm. Oh, Veronica. Okay. I was going to just call you caller, but all right.
I was wondering what the angels have to say for me.
Well, why don't you give me a specific direction, just because we're kind of limited on time. What particular thing would you like to know about, Ren?
Well, if I'm going to, mostly about my job, if I'm going to get a different job maybe anytime soon, I'm applying for different positions, and
Here's the thing that's really important for you is the fact that you finally, and I'm sorry, I'm going to say this gently as I can, okay, and know that this isn't just my opinion. All this information comes from your angels and your spirit guides, okay? But the thing that's really important is that you've been kind of lackadaisical in the past 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And you're finally getting off your butt and doing something. That's where the difference is for you. Don't you feel better about yourself now?
Yeah, I'm like...
You've been doing job application. I see that you're hitting this really hard. I mean, like, real recently, like, just in the past 3 weeks, that
yes.
You've really been hitting this hard. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
And so, the thing is that you're getting off your butt,
mm-hmm.
and you feel better about yourself. Your self-confidence is rising. Your self-esteem is starting to rise. There's a definite correlation between going out and doing something for yourself and feeling good about yourself instead of just kind of sitting around and, you know, not growing up a little bit and just doing what you do, right? So that's what's important. I think that's brilliant. You're going to get a great job. Will you stay at that job? Probably not, but it's a step. And you need something to pull you out of where you were in. You
mm-hmm.
see what I'm saying? And
yeah.
so doing that, once you get into that job, then you can start setting your eyes at the next level. But it's all a stair step. Right?
Okay.
So you have to climb the first stair to get to the next and so on and so on. It's just difficult to see that second step right now from where you're at. So just take the job. I see all of them are pretty interesting. There's one, of course, that you don't want. And I doubt that you're going to get, you'll probably be offered it, but you don't have to take it if you don't want to. I don't know if it's waitressing or whatever it is, you know, something that you just could do but don't want to do. We all
right.
have those types of jobs, don't we?
Right.
And so, you know, don't take it if you don't want it, sweetheart. You're going to manifest that in your life. Then you're just going to go back to being unhappy and create all that stuff around you.
Right.
So go for it. Wait to the one to work at. Probably within a couple of weeks here, you're going to get something, a couple of offers that'll really work out for you. And just take
okay.
that and then start setting your sights higher.
Okay.
And it's about the end time. Good for you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, you're welcome, Ron. Take care.
Thank you for calling.
Well, see, that's a real question. You see what I'm
right.
saying? She's concerned about her job, and that's okay, but here's what the great thing is about that, or here's what's holding you back. Not, will you get the job, yes or no, okay, bye.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Definitely. Definitely. So overall, do you feel your psychic abilities as a gift and a blessing, or how do you feel about being intuitive? How has it changed your life?
I tell you that my life has changed exponentially since I've opened up to this. Oh, I'm getting another call. But real quickly, let's...
Sure.
The thing is that I used to call this an ability. I never called it a gift. Mm-hmm. And I say used to because I'll let you know the changing point in just a moment. But I used to call this just an ability. It was something I worked very hard to be in the position I'm at today. And now professionally going around doing workshops all over the country and in production for the television show that I'm doing now. And I've worked very hard to get here. But there came a time when it opened up even more so, and it became, I all of a sudden realized that all these people that I was trying to help or doing readings for, putting them in touch with their mom or their dad or their loved one or whoever, that became a gift in itself to me. And so there came a time when I was asking God and my angels, how can I serve? I'm in a position where I really feel I can serve. How can I serve? And to me, that's the gift. Not necessarily the ability, but the gift itself is serving.
Mm-hmm.
So I've almost changed that a little bit. I still believe it's ability. I still believe you have control and can exercise and use it to whatever degree that you want to, like learning how to play soccer, learning how to sing. But it really becomes a gift when you're able just to say, how can I serve, and you're not in it for, you know, unscrupulous reasons, I guess, that I've seen some psychics do.
Yeah. So, Carla, what is your name and what is your question for Bobby? And thanks for calling.
This is Brant. And
hi,
first,
Brant.
Bobby, I got to say thanks for your no-nonsense kind of approach to everything. It's refreshing to hear.
Nobody ever really walks away from me going, what did he mean by that?
No, you're pretty much straight to the point. I like that.
I try to be.
I'm calling because like the last caller, a little bit about career. Last few years, I've been heavily looking at something a little different. Right now, I do blue collar work, but
I'm very unhappy at that.
Well, I'm good at it, but I've been volunteering for like the last 4.5 years, and I like. And now I'm kind of looking towards a humanitarian kind of job that, of course, pays well. But I'm curious to know if you see anything kind of coming.
I think. Here's what I was feeling. I want you to try to get in touch with this as well. You know, you're talking about the blue collar work, and I'm not sure how long you've been doing it, but let's say
12 years.
It feels like a long time.
Yeah.
So let's and again, you're great at what you do, but and there's always the big but.
It's
right?
Not my passion.
It's time to move on. Right? It's not your passion. It served you really, really well. And to tell you the truth, you should have gotten out 3 years ago, but we don't, right? We stay in it because we have to. We have to pay the bills, and it's
exactly.
It's not our fault. You just do what you do, right? Because we're human and we need to live, for crying out loud. So the important thing is that you're recognizing now, okay, time for me to get off my butt and do something. And when you talk about the humanitarian part, the minute you started talking about that, you opened up immediately. Your heart chakra just opened. It was brilliant. It was really wonderful. And the thing with the humanitarian work, not only is that a passion for you, but let me tell you why you're so drawn to it. Because it's going to be very, very healing for you. It's going to be healing for the times that you went through with your father, for trying to get rid of that extra stuff, the bad relationship that you had.
Mm-hmm.
Not just with your dad, but I'm talking about love relationship.
Yep.
There's a couple things that you're holding down that are still, it's not a real solid block in you. I almost see it like a spider web. You know, there's a lot of holes in it.
Yeah, it's going to take me a while to get
spider webby, but it's still strong enough to keep it all down in there, isn't it? And so this humanitarian work is going to help to heal all of that. What you're going to find is that when you start doing that work, and I'll go to when and if in just a moment, but
okay.
When you start doing that work, what you're going to find is things are really going to start to change, and you're going to release and let go of that stuff without even having to try. You know
okay.
what I mean? Because sometimes you tell people, you've got to let go. This thing with you and your dad, you have to let go of that. But then, of course, the question becomes, well, how? Well, I can show people how to work on that directly.
Yeah.
But in my experience, when you're doing something that you love, for you in particular, this humanitarian thing, when
mm-hmm.
you start doing that, you're releasing indirectly on the stuff between you and your dad and this bad relationship topic.
Okay.
So it's going to be really great for you. So start doing the basics. For you, a great place to start would be the basics, which is the secret type of stuff.
Okay.
Start creating it. What does it look like?
I've been kind of manifesting for years now. So it's kind
making. See, the thing is, though, Brandon, if you were, you would have it by now.
Yeah.
So you've not been manifesting for years. Actually, you have. Let's take it in the spin that you're taking it. You have been manifesting. Everything you see around you is exactly what you've been manifesting. So you're actually quite strong.
Mm.
We just need to change that around a little bit.
Okay.
So what I would love to see you do is to, and this is going to make all the difference, instead of, I got to get out of here with your job, I got to get something better, I got to do this, I got to do that. It just meets resistance in you because you're not quite sure of yourself of what else you could do. Can you feel that?
Yep.
Okay. So instead of telling yourself, I got to get out of here, which just creates unnecessary resistance, what if you just allowed yourself to have the job that you want?
Okay, I can.
There's an instant opening there when you use that phrase, I allow myself. I allow myself to finally heal. I allow myself to move on. Because now all of a sudden you're thinking from a vantage point of courageousness. And it feels a little bit better, doesn't it?
Yeah. Kind of
it just opens up a little bit.
Yeah.
It takes the bite out. So one of the other things that I recommend that this also brings up for you is stop thinking that you can't do anything else. The humanitarian work, you know, it just looks like, well, that's just up on a cloud right now. you can totally do that if you wanted to. You have to give yourself enough credit. Because if you look way back when you got the job that you have right now, you didn't know what the hell you were doing.
No.
You got in there, you didn't know, but you just did it because that's what we do. We're men. We work hard. Blah, blah, blah. There we go. I just did it because my father did it or whoever, you know, everybody else did it. And so that's what you did. And you adapted very, very well. That's what you do. That's who you are. So why not could the same be true for this humanitarian work or whatever else it is that you wanted to get into? You know what I mean? You
yeah.
could develop and adapt and make it your own, just like you have everything else in your life.
All right.
So just don't focus on what you can't do. Focus on what you can do. And again, allow yourself to finally move on from those responsibilities that you placed on yourself, that are frankly holding you back now. They served you well for 12 years, I think you said you were at the job.
Yep.
They served you well for 12 years, but could you allow yourself to maybe let those go now?
Yeah.
There you go.
Cool.
That's where it all changes. Okay, bye?
All right. Thanks a lot, man.
All right. Good luck, man.
Thanks, Brent. Okay.
Bye.
So, do you feel that with the conscious shifting and everything that's shifting right now, a lot of people are finding their true calling isn't what they're doing? Have you seen that?
I do find that.
Oh, yeah.
They're waking up. And unfortunately, you know, fortunately or unfortunately, I guess, they notice that with their spouses, too. You know what I mean?
Yes, most definitely.
People start to wake up, and they're like, oh, my God. I've always said people don't change. You do. You know, you just start waking up. And, yeah, the job is like, you know, I want to do something more. I need to be doing something more. Like, oh, my God, I can't believe I'm still here. Or, you know, sometimes they just start getting really bored. And unfortunately, that's where they become stuck. They don't know how to get out of that because they're trying to make decisions through that boredom instead of coming out of that and realizing all the great talents that they are. Brent himself has come a long way. We didn't get an opportunity to talk about it. I wasn't sure how much time we had, but he's got a great heart, you know, and it hasn't always been that way. He's survived through a lot, and I think over the past 3 to 5 years, his heart has opened up great. Maybe he's still listening. And we don't celebrate that enough. You know what I mean? He just like, well, I just did what I had to do. You know, I just survived.
Right.
But that's an amazing thing. So if you have that wonderful light, allow that to shine in everything else. You know, we just don't see past that sometimes. Oh, look at that.
Got another one already. Hello, caller. This is Air. What's your question for Bobby?
Hey, Jennifer. It's Chris.
Hey, Chris, how you doing?
Just calling in to tell Bobby I'm glad he's on the call and wanted to validate that I agree with what Brent said, that I do totally appreciate the pragmatic approach to being intuitive and sharing that you want to empower people to trust their own power. That was cool.
All right, thank you.
And I'm visiting your website, and I've actually visited it before, and I didn't call in, but I just wanted to say it's nice meeting you, Bobby.
Well, that's just gosh darn sweet of you. Thanks, Chris.
Okay, what can I ask? I am taking a medication right now. Should
Get off
I continue
it.
Taking
Stop
it?
Stop right there. Here's the thing. It's way too strong for you. I agree with medication. Okay, and I think that they serve their purpose, and for you, it really helps, but it's like way over the doses that you need. It's so strong, and of course, stronger is not better when it comes to medication. Okay, so I don't, keep in mind, they're not showing me exactly what this is for, exactly what you need, but I do know psychically it keeps you on track in the very beginning parts of it, and then overall now I'm sensing nauseousness and things like that can come up from this. And I think that it's good why you decided to take it. I don't see you on it forever. And it definitely helps keep you on track, but then, again, it's just way too much.
That would explain a lot. Interesting.
Don't you go through the nauseous and then you get the headaches?
Oh, I've had migraines since 1999. But it's not for migraines. Are you getting that it's for migraines? Because I'm actually on two different medications now. The second one is because of the first one.
See, that's what happens, isn't it? They give, we take a medication, then we got to take a medication for the medication.
Mm-hmm.
And where does it end?
Right. I began taking the medication in November, and like you said, it goes really well on the first week, and then the second and third week I start getting these strange symptoms, and then it's
right.
time to go in and get the medication again. And in now the month of January, I haven't gone in and taken it yet because I've been questioning whether I should continue it. But if it's too strong, then I can just go in and let them know I want them to reduce this.
Well, I think so. That's completely up to you. I definitely think that. I think, again, you're at a place, Chris, where you're not giving enough credit to yourself. Sometimes we live in a place, and I don't want you to take this wrong, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes we live in such a place of apathy and grief, right? And apathy, you're in some ways apathy, which says, what's the use? Why try this? I don't want to, that type of feeling. And then grief says, well, I still don't think I can do this, but maybe something or someone else can. And I think you're relying too heavily on the drugs to do it for you so that you don't really have to do anything. See what I mean? And if you took back control, you could still use the drug, but you're using it as a tool, not as a complete crutch. You know what I mean? So take back your control, which I think that you've kind of lost a little bit, which also creates more feelings inside of you.
Exactly.
Right? Now you got this string of feelings because you're out of control, but you're out of control because you didn't take control, and oi, oi, oi. You know what I mean?
It's one of these situations, Bobby. It's damn if I do, damn if I don't.
But see, and there's where you're stuck at.
It is.
Damn if I do, damn if I don't. So then we stay in one place, and in my experience, you create more balance for yourself when you're pedaling the bike rather than standing down. Now you're afraid to take a move either way. It should be just, you know what? Damn it all, and move and go forward. There's a phrase I use with my coaching clients that, you know, when you've got too many people trying to put lids on you and not letting you move or being too critical or judgmental of the moves that you make, and you're just trying to do the best that you can, there's a phrase I use. Screw them. And sometimes I'm not that polite about it. The thing is that you just have to do the best that you can for your ability and for also what's right and appropriate for you, not for somebody else, whatever life they went through. Because they may be trying to help, but sometimes they make decisions based off the experience they had. So if you can find yourself in a place of courageousness and just take back your control and not be so attached to the outcome of things, just do what you do. You know, there was a time when you were in your late teens that you were like that. You know, what happened to that girl? And in my experience, she hasn't gone anywhere. She's just covered up a little bit.
That is so long ago. So I'm like, late teens? Okay, that's back in the 70s.
Well, who cares? So what? It's just time.
Mm-hmm.
She's still there.
Okay, so...
In my experience, the things that we do, peace and enlightenment and everything you want is not an attainable thing. It's an uncovering process.
Well, here's my objective. My objective is to find balance with medicine and with alternatives.
Okay.
I want to work with both the East and the West and find that good rhythm for me. So creating a personal, individual plan for me. I've got a good doctor, good team, so I think the communication is good. And so the second drug that they prescribed was to counteract what the first drug was doing. So now, is the second drug too strong, or is it the first drug that's too strong?
No, it's the first drug.
Okay, the first drug.
The second drug really hardly has any effect whatsoever. It's like slightly, from the way I'm seeing it, slightly above a sugar pill.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, yeah,
it's really watered down. It's really filtered.
was to help with migraines.
Right, and is that working?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I've only had this month.
Right. So the thing is that you do what works and you don't what don't.
Okay. Now, I have talked to intuitives about this drug, this first one, and I got like, yeah, this is it, go for it. And, you know, and I kind of checked it out and I went, all right, I'm going to agree to take drugs, which I'm pretty stubborn about that stuff. I will walk around and walk away from drugs. So I agreed to it with good consciousness and trust in the system. Just reducing it, then continue it, or should I just go ahead and change and go to another drug because they have another option?
Well, I don't want you to put me in a position of another psychic just telling me what to do, sweetie.
Okay, I understand that too.
Well, but hang on a second. So the thing is that you have a goal for yourself.
I do.
Set that goal and then move towards it as to whether you feel you should cut back your drugs or not. I told you what I thought about the drugs, right? And so you have to come to a place where you're comfortable about what it is that you want to do with it. But it's almost that the drugs aren't even the thing. The thing is for you to start rediscovering that girl that we just talked about. And then, indirectly, I bet you won't even need the drugs after. You know? That's just my experience with that. But the drugs aren't the thing. You're using that as a crux, as a the apex of what's going on in your life right now, and it's not. It's just relying too heavily on everybody else and the drugs right now, instead of taking back control and finding that person that's kind of covered up a little bit.
You need to trust yourself more, Chris.
Jen, do you understand all of this?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
She can explain it to you later.
Yeah, she's pretty awesome. Is pretty awesome. So, well, I've been really good about not calling in because I've been wanting to free the lines up for new people. So with that, I will tell you again, thank you. It's really wonderful connecting with you on the phone. Jen, as always, thank you for bringing the most amazing guest to your show.
Well, thank you, Chris, but you can thank Spirit because all my guests are spiritually inspiration. Spirit tells me who to have on, so.
All right. Thank you.
Take care, Chris.
Thanks.
So, one thing we didn't ask you yet.
Yeah.
Is exactly how do you get your answers?
I haven't written down. No, I haven't. I get them.
Hand you a sheet.
For me, I believe it's never me, you know. The thing is, I kind of put it in my words, and frankly, you know, if I'm doing a gallery or talking with somebody like that, sometimes it comes through, and this is going to sound kind of cocky, and I don't mean for it to, but sometimes it comes through very natural that they think it's just my opinion or that I'm just throwing this in there. All of my information and everything like that comes from the person's angels, my spirit guides, their spirit guides. All the answers come from that. I'm just a straw, you know, where everything just kind of runs through and goes that way. I receive it in a couple of different ways, you know, from seeing, hearing, and feeling, and sometimes the smelling and tasting, you know, when it's appropriate. But
right. In
a manner of different ways. I didn't want to just have visualization when I started all this out. I didn't want to just see things. I had a great imagination, I believe, so I thought that was my strong point. So I used that and then developed the other areas for my hearing and feeling as well. And I mean, I figure if you're going to work for the UN, you want to know as many languages as possible, you know, so you can be more effective that way. And so that's where I believe I get my information from.
Do you think that having a good imagination opened you up more to your intuition?
I don't know more. I mean, in my experience, that a lot of artsy type people, you know, singers and dancers and more expression people play instruments that definitely are more intuitive, more feeling, you know. Definitely I think imagination is a great tool, but there's some people who have no imagination whatsoever. Some of them will listen to my meditation CD, and they more just hear the CD than they try to visualize. When I do a visualization meditation, I think that that works all of your senses and exercises all of your psychic muscles, seeing, hearing, and feeling. But some people can't do that. So I just say, work from where you're at. If you see better, if you have a great imagination, use that. If you're more of a feeling person but can't see it, you know, you have to feel something, you know, then work from there. Start from there. And likewise with hearing, and that includes the thoughts in your head, that type of thing. But, yeah, of course, any one of those can be an awesome tool. And just discover which one is more strong for you and develop that, and the others will trail off if you wish.
Do you find in talking to people that a lot of the people, when they're developing their intuition, they say, I want to see? Do you get that people want to be more clairvoyant than anything else?
I think so, yeah. Sometimes they kind of, especially when they say that and they giggle afterwards, you know, they want it to be like the sixth sense.
Right.
Some of them don't. They say, I don't want to see the bad stuff. I don't want to see the ugly stuff. But sometimes they want to see a ghost or a full apparition or that type of thing. I was that way. You know, I wanted to see it all as well. But I think people are just kind of, they need something tangible. That's where a lot of people are getting confused. Because they don't have that tangibility. With just the seeing, hearing, and feeling, they can't ever validate or verify that those are real. How do I know I'm not just feeling this? How do I know I'm not just making it up in my imagination? Or how do I know I'm not just hearing things? And that can really trip a person up quite a
right.
bit. You know, it's not that tangibility that they have to actually hold it in their hand. And so, therefore, the trust becomes a big issue.
The trust, and it tends to block people if they don't trust themselves in what they're doing. It can build to be a big obstacle to get over.
I think so. I think trust goes hand in hand with that, you know, self confidence and being worthy. I think that those can be all connected. You know, there may be other reasons, of course, why somebody may not trust that, but a lot of times it can be just because they feel that they're not worthy or. Why would God want to talk to me, or I can't really believe angels are around me, or that type of thing. You know, belief and trust is huge. You have to, there's got to be a point where you have to have it.
Yes, most definitely. So what is the best way for someone to jumpstart their psychic awareness?
Well, I think noticing, just starting to be aware and notice. I'm gonna, you know, sometimes I use callers and people in workshops as an example, and I want to go back to Brandt, who's done a lot of awareness, awakening, you know, since he started to determine what he really wants to do, and it kind of goes hand in hand with what you and I were talking about earlier. The more people start waking up, the more they're like, what am I doing here? And so I think starting to notice what you do. And if you start to get certain information, if you feel a certain way during the day, and when you feel it, why you feel it, and what are you thinking, start paying attention to your thoughts. Start paying attention to what you do and what your tendencies are. And just the more that you become aware of what's happening right here and right now, instead of living in your imagination about what should be happening, live with what's here, right here, right now. That immediately starts to open you up. A lot of people think they just go out and start doing psychic exercises, and that's going to work. And it does to a degree, but if you want the whole enchilada, if you want to really start opening up, I really suggest that you take care of yourself first. Get your stuff out of the way. Clear your clutter, I think I've heard it phrased.
Yeah.
So that you can receive the information clearly, and you can decipher it much more easily. And you won't have to worry about how do I know if this is my imagination, how do I know I'm not making it up, blah, 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 and all the thousand thoughts that go through our heads. You won't have to wonder that because you'll just, it'll be an undeniable knowing. And so, again, just clearing out your closet, you know, your clutter is a great way to really begin. I'm not saying psychic exercises don't have their position. They very much do. But if you want to hear the message clearly, and like I tell people, if you want to be at home when the phone rings, don't go outside and play in the front yard. You're not going to hear the phone ring. You may once in a while, but be there when it rains.
Now, I want to clear this up for many callers. When you are saying clean up the clutter, are you saying the physical clutter around you, or are you saying deal with your issues, or both?
I guess kind of both. I mean, if you're in a messy office or a messy home, create order. There's nothing like doing that physical cleaning, house cleaning work, spring cleaning, if you will, that can really help free up your mind as well. I believe very much in the physicality of things and the psychological part of it as well. So I think that definitely helped. But yes, I'm more talking about the inner clutter that all of us have, the limitations, self-esteem, the living from apathy or grief or fear, anger, you know, some of these limitations that we can't do it, and why does this stuff keep happening to me, and blah, 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 blah. When you clear all of that, all the worries, all the stress, all the suffering, when you clear that away, life begins to flow. And there's definitely a lot of ways to do that. Of course, that's what I teach people how to do. I'm sure you do the same thing, and the methods that you use, that's what people need to do. Clear that stuff, your stuff that we've accumulated because of our parents or society or things we should and shouldn't do and must not do and
right.
All of that kind of stuff. Once we clear out those limitations, you will develop automatically that knowingness, psychic intuition, that is already there. You don't go out to be psychic. You don't go have intuition. You already have it.
Right.
You just uncover everything else and it's already there.
And one thing I do want to add is you are realizing that you do have a repeating problem. You are becoming aware. And it's when you finally realize what your repeating pattern is that you can start changing that pattern to what you really want. Instead of it continuing the same thing, it is not set in stone. You can change those patterns once you realize
right.
What's going on. You can find out why it's happening and what's causing it.
Right.
So, I think that's...
And that's the same thing. Finding out what's causing it or even finding out that you're doing it
right.
Sometimes is the exact same thing as stopping it.
Right. It's acknowledging it, most definitely.
Right.
I do want to say really quick what Bobby's website is. It is bobbyspiritspeak.com. Go check it out. He is available for one-on-one readings still. Are you still doing one-on-one?
Well, I'm not just now. I'm going to be in production until about May.
Right.
And then after that, so you're more than welcome to call. I have a few people on a waiting list now. I've started a waiting list up through till the end of the year.
Right.
So yeah, they're more than welcome to call if they don't mind, you know, waiting until then. But yeah, I still would love to hear from people.
Right. Do you want to say anything about the program you're in production with, or is it still hush hush?
It's a little hush hush, but what we're doing is it's for Living TV over in the UK that eventually will be sold here in the US. Living TV over there is kind of like our CBS.
Right.
They're showing Ghost Whisperer and CSI and Most Haunted and those kind of programs. In fact, this show will be on directly after Most Haunted. But it's called Conversations with a Serial Killer, and it's part documentary and part paranormal.
Oh.
And we're really getting into some of these people, the notorious, the infamous people, and finding out a little bit more about them. Like I say, we're trying to marry the two programs of documentaries like you'd find on the History Channel and paranormal like Most Haunted, and we're kind of marrying the two.
Excellent.
Very fascinating.
That's really exciting. So time is up, believe it or not. It's a quick hour. So I do want to thank you, Bobby, for being on the show. Again, if you want to get information about him, please check out his website, bobbyspiritspeak.com. And next week we have another psychic. Her name is Haiku. She's very compassionate. She uses tarot and very empathetic. She is a wonderful, wonderful woman. So until next week, this is Jennifer Hillman, hoping that with each breath of air, you gain new insights and inspirations. Many blessings and good night.
April, come here a sec. Look over across the street.